I remember the first week that I ever stepped inside the chapel. It was during camp meeting time, and I was sitting right over there, and as the power of God began to come forth, and as we began to minister in song, I seen a movement of God like I never seen before, and I came up and I gave a testimony, and I said to the body, I said, I have seen a move of God like I've never seen before in my whole life. And I've been quite a few places in my time, but I've never seen God move like He was moving in this body. And as the semester went on, the Lord began to touch my heart and to begin to show me some things, although I was kind of up and down in my Christian life because there were some things that I really didn't understand as to yet, but still, the Lord was beginning to do a deep work in my heart. Then the second semester started, and the Lord one night here in service just touched me. He said, Jerry, I want you to go all the way with me. All there is to know about your word, and I don't know all there is to know about what's going to come to pass, but whatever you say, whatever you tell me to do, I want to do it. Just show me, lead me, and my faith is in you, and that's what I'll do. So the semester went on, and time came for the school year to end, and it was time for us to go home. And I knew that God had a mighty work for me to do, for me and my wife to be, to do back there at home. And one night, the last night we were here, I got up here and I said, now Lord, I was kneeling here, and I said, Lord, just use me in a mighty way this summer. I'm your vessel, I've got your word in me, and I want to go forth with love and your spirit in me and proclaim your gospel. So the Lord took us back to Illinois, and my wife and I, which is my wife now, we were married, and the Lord began to use us and begin to take us different places to minister and proclaim the gospel and have Bible studies and do different things. And the Lord began to show me that we need to know what He wants us to do and to have all faith in Him. Because there are times coming that He's going to take us to places that we wonder, Lord, why in the world? Why in the world are we here? Or why in the world are we doing this? Or why in the world have You chose me to do this? But we have to say, Lord, not my will, but whatever You have in plan for me, I want to do it. The title of my message this morning is Living Faith in Action. And I want to share a few things in my testimony first before I get started. I've got a long ways to go here. This is about a four-part sermon. I doubt if I'll get all through it, but anyway, I want you to get the tenor of the message this morning, what God wants us to do, what He wants us to believe in, what He wants us to know about Him, what He wants us to be able to recognize in Him as we walk by faith. When I was home this summer, there were many places, like I said a few moments ago, that we were going, and it was costing quite a bit of money to go different places. And all summer I was home, I was working, I was thinking, I've got to get my tuition, my wife and I, our tuition taken care of. We've got to get it paid for, get it laid aside, and then we'll be all right. Then we can do whatever we want to. But it seemed like every time we would get, you know, a nice amount laid aside, the Lord would say, okay, I want you to go to another state and proclaim the gospel. Then we'd have to take out and go and you know, spend what money we had. And time got down to about the middle of August, you know. Or no, it was about the middle of July. And the Lord began to touch me and say, Jerry, don't worry. I've got everything under control. That brother blesses my heart whenever he sings that song, God's got everything under control. Because God, just like He spoke to me, said, I've got everything under control. Don't worry, because I will meet your needs. So then the time went on, and we were at our last meeting. We were at a full gospel meeting in St. Louis, a conventional meeting, and some way or another, my wife and I and a couple other young kids were able to minister in this convention. And after we got done ministering, there were several people came around and asked if I could hold meetings at their places. And this one lady particularly came up and said, you've got to come to my church. You've got to hold a revival. And I felt like the Lord was wanting me to do that, but we were supposed to leave in about 3 or 4 days. And I told her, I said, well, listen. I'll come for one day. I believe God wants me to come for one day. I'll go on a Sunday, and I'll preach Sunday morning and Sunday night for you. She says, well, if that's the best you can do, well, we'll make a week out of it anyway. Out of that one night, we'll get people really turned on. So here we went again. We packed up and we took off. And I said, Lord, here we go. Just have your way, oh God. I remember the first morning, or the Sunday morning, I preached in this little church. It was in DeSoto, Missouri. And I began to preach, and the anointing fell, and I didn't have a care in the world. I was just preaching what God laid upon my heart, and I wasn't worried about tuition anymore. I wasn't worried about anything. I just said, Lord, let your power go forth with boldness. I want your will done. And I remember after the service was over, there was a lady that got filled with the Holy Spirit, and there was one that had cancer, and we laid hands on her, and we prayed, and I felt the power of God come through me like I never felt before, and the lady was touched. And just marvelous things began to happen. And then we went back after the night was over. Oh, I better tell this. While we were there, the pastor of the church was sitting there, and after the service was over, she got up and she says, I believe we need to take an offering for Jerry and his wife. And she says, I believe the Lord's will would be to let them leave here with $100 tonight. And there were just a small congregation, maybe 35 or 40 people. And she says, I believe the Lord would have them leave here with $100 tonight to help pay for their tuition and travel expenses and so forth. I was amazed because money hadn't even been on my mind. But anyway, she said a prayer and then they took the offering. And when they came back, they counted it. There was $110 in the offering plate. I just had to say, Lord, you've got everything under control. You are taking care of our needs. That made my faith just a little bit stronger, enabling me to step out and say, Lord, okay, whatever you say now, I'll be quicker to say, okay. Whatever you want me to do now, I'll be quicker to say, okay, I'll go. Then we were in, it was the last night. We were to leave the next day. We were sitting there at a meeting, and there happened to be some real close friends of ours that were there, and we were sitting there, and the meeting had ended, and Gail and I were just sitting there, just kind of worshiping the Lord and talking and just thanking the Lord for everything He did, and we had about $540, I think. And I looked at it, and I said, Lord, we've got to find a place to live. We've got to get out and pay our tuition. And I've got to pay for two this time, not just me, but two. Also, it's going to cost quite a bit to go out because we'd planned on taking a nice trip on the way out here. And the Lord, just like He touched my heart and said, Jerry, I've got everything under control. So I was sitting there and a brother came up and he tapped me on the shoulder and he says, Brother, I hope you have a marvelous time in school this year. And he stuck something in my pocket and I looked as he walked away and it was a dear friend. And I pulled it out and it was $100 bill. And then another person came around and they walked in front of me and he said, shook my hand and told me God bless me and all, you know, things like that. And then he handed me some money. It was $50. I thought, Lord, you're right. You do have everything under control. I love you, Lord. So then we went home and went to bed and got up the next morning. It was time to leave. And you know how it is around home when you really love your family and it's time to get in the car and you're going 2,500 miles away from those you love. It would be easy just to say, well, we'll stay here if you ask us good enough. But we were packed up and we were ready to go. And my father-in-law had told me at the beginning of when I started working on the farm, he says, now, the farmer's already decided to give you a bonus. We don't know what it'll be yet, but we're going to give you a bonus whenever you get ready to leave. So we were getting ready to leave, and about an hour before we left, he came to me and he says, here's a check from the farm, and it's a bonus. I looked at it, and it was $500. I said, Lord, thank you. And by then, I was really getting to appreciate the Lord. And then, to top it off, there was a group by the name of, well, they're Charles and Paula Slagle. They were at the house at this time. And we had been going around with them a little bit. And they came up and they said, here's just a little token of our appreciation for helping me. I helped him set up his equipment and stuff when he would minister at different places. And another time it was $50. So we left Sparta within a week and a half time, we had $1,200. And we left Sparta with $1,200 in our pocket. And all the way out, I just had to say, Lord, I thank you for meeting my needs. I thank you for seeing my needs and already knowing that they'll be met. And therefore, you lead me knowing that you're going to meet my needs. And that way, I can step out on faith and strengthen and grow in you. This morning, that's why I entitled my message, Living Faith in Action. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And I don't care how much faith you got. If it does not produce, it's dead. And this morning, we need to see the need to say, Lord, no matter what you say, no matter what you lay up on my heart, I'm willing to do it. I'm excited about the new sanctuary that we're about ready to start building. And I've already said, Lord, no matter how much I'm supposed to give, I'm willing. No matter if it's my whole paycheck one week, I'll give it because I know that you shall provide for me. College students, today, as you sit here, God has your needs met. If you'll step out and say, Lord, I know you shall meet my needs, and I accept it, and I receive it right now. God wants to meet our needs. All right, Hebrews 11:1. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me. Hebrews 11:1. I get inspired when I read this verse. I remember in faith healing class when Mark was teaching about faith and about healing. I tell you, I could never get enough of that class. I was excited about what God wanted to do. And all we had to do was say, Lord, I receive and I give what I have to you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance hoped for. Now, I took a dictionary and I went through and I looked at the definitions of these words. And I want to tell you, it's marvelous to see what we have right here in this verse. Brethren, when you have faith that's on fire for God, when you're saying, Lord, I trust you for everything, every need of my life, brethren, you've got evidence, you've got proof to show it. This morning, I can say that God is moving in my life in a mighty way. I can see what He's done in the past, and I can already see what's beginning to build in the future. Because I've said, Lord, I know that I can't do it within myself. I know that I am nothing. But Lord, that you can do all things. Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Christ strengthens us. He can build our faith if we'll put it in Him and believe Him 100%. What is faith? Faith is believing. Faith is trusting. Faith is having an unquestioning, with beyond a shadow of a doubt in God. Unquestioning doubt. This morning, if we were to go right down the front rows and the rows, and I were to ask each and every individual, do you have unquestioning faith in God? Do you have that unquestioning faith, no matter what God tells you to do, you would do it? I imagine I would get many, many reactions. I would get many different statements. But this morning, God wants us to say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. But thine be done. God is wanting to mold us as a body and bring us together as one mighty army and to raise us up that when we go out with power and force and that nothing can stand in our way. Nothing can stand in our way. We saw the power of God demonstrated in our new sanctuary. There are a lot of complaints and so forth coming abroad. But I knew the sanctuary was going up. I knew the sanctuary was going up because God already promised it. Faith is a substance hoped for. Substance is something that you can see, that is reality, that you can feel. And hope is not something that you say, well, I hope, but it's knowing, having it come to pass. This morning, our hearts need to be stirred by what God wants us to know about what He wants us to do and about what He wants us to do. Hope is a desire for some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it or a belief that it is obtainable. Now, you don't have hope in something if it's not attainable. You don't have faith in something if you know that you can't get it. Tonight, or this morning when you came in and you sat down in the pews, you wouldn't have sat down in them if you knew they would have fell over. When you get in your car, you wouldn't get in it and start the thing up if you knew it wasn't going to carry you somewhere. This morning, God is saying, believe and see. Seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing. This morning, when we say, Lord, it seems unreasonable. It seems impossible for you to want me to go somewhere and proclaim your gospel. It seems impossible I've got $35 in my checking account and you want me to write out a check for $35 and give it in the offering this morning. But Jesus said that He would take care of us. That He would meet our needs. That He would provide. I've got my own definition here for hope. So when you write, if you write this down, if you're taking notes and you write this down, put, you know, Jerry by it because it's not in the dictionary. My definition of hope is a living expectation knowing that God will provide that which is needed to meet the need. This morning, God will provide for each and every individual in this place to meet the need that arises. In the last 4 months of our ministry, my wife and I, we have decided that positive confessions were going to come out of our mouths. No longer were we going to confess, "Oh, I don't feel so good." Or, "Oh, the circumstances look so bad." But that my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This morning, God wants to meet our needs. God wants to reach down and bless us. If you want to use the word. But we get caught up in our own day-by-day living. Saying, "Lord, what am I going to do now? I've only got a few dollars in the bank, tuition's coming up. What am I going to do?" Believe in the Lord. Believe, hope, expect, and receive. Okay, what's evidence? Now, if you were to go into a court today, and you were to set up on the stand, and you were being convicted of something, and the prosecutor came up and he says, "Okay, now here's the evidence that we have against you. Charlie saw George run down the street and so, and that's all we have." That man would go free because there's not enough evidence. Evidence proves a point. Evidence is something that is laid out and says, "This is what did this." And beloved, when our faith is in action, when it produces evidence. It produces something that can be seen that's real. When a person is wanting to move on in God and there's something really turning on the inside. They come down here and they begin to wait on the Lord and they say, "Lord, do that work in me. I receive it by faith. I lay aside every weight of doubt and guilt I receive from you." And then the Lord does a marvelous work. There's evidence there that a work has been done. There's something that has been changed in the life of that person. There's a new walk. There's something that you can see. And so is when our faith starts believing for things that we need in this everyday life that we live. Beloved, I believe the Christian in this day and age needs to walk with their heads up. God has provided for us. We're children of the King, beloved. And never have I seen a king's son or daughter walk around, you know, saying, "Oh, where am I going to get my next dollar? Or where am I going to get my next bite to eat?" But brethren, they live as high as the King, or if not better. They live right up there with the standard of them. And this morning, God wants us to see that we have been called to be His people. That we can walk with our heads up saying, "Lord, it looks difficult, but I'm not receiving it in that sight. I accept what You have for me and block it out of the way." Trials come our way many times, but they don't have to be trials. They don't have to be trials. I have found lately that God can meet all my needs. You know, when He said, "Meet all of my needs according to His riches and glory." Now, either He's going bankrupt, or the heavenly banking account is going overdrawn or something. Is that, or we're not withdrawing right or something? I don't believe Jesus is going bankrupt. And I don't believe the heavenly bank account is overdrawn. But I believe the people are not writing the checks just so right. Beloved, this morning as we receive from God, as we say, "Lord, I accept. Lord, I receive." That song we sing, "Lord, I receive." We need to make that a dedication of our heart and say, "Jesus, I receive whatever I need." Now, a few minutes ago, I'm going to get to the definition of what I feel is prosperity. And it's not what you think yet. But I believe your hearts are going to be touched when you hear what God wants us to know this morning. All right, evidence. The condition of being evident. Something that makes another thing evident. Indication or sign, something that tends to prove, or I would mark out that 10 and I would say something that proves, grounds for belief. And brethren, when we heard Mel Torrey speak last Sunday morning, that was grounds for belief. When he heard of the marvelous work that God was doing in Indonesia, the marvelous work that God was doing because of a simple faith and a simple trust. That was grounds for belief. It touched my heart. It gave me even a broader vision than what I already had. I said, "Lord, I want you to meet even my small needs. even my small needs. If I'm in the store and I got 33 cents and I need 34, I expect a penny. Not quite that drastic, but God wants to meet our needs. Okay, evidence. We know that produces. Evidence is something that brings forth proof. Evidence is something that establishes a point. It establishes a point. This morning, as God was dealing with me, as we were saying, I realized that God had everything under control. I was a little nervous when I came in this morning, because for the last 3 months, God has had this message upon my heart, and every time that I would be sitting here in the auditorium and time for body ministry would come up, I would say, Lord, can I go give a testimony? And He's saying, hold it, it's not right yet. Next time, it's just like it was going to blow up. I said, Lord, can I go? I got to go. And He says, just hang on. And if you've ever had, pardon the expression, sick at your stomach, you know kind of what I'm talking about. You just want to get it out. And that's the way I was. And I kept saying, Lord, why don't you want me to give it? And then He kind of touched me and says, there's quite a bit I want you to talk about. And you wouldn't have quite enough time, so just hang on, your time's coming. I thought, Lord, what are you talking about now? And so here a while back, Roy asked me if I would preach the Sunday morning service. And I went home and I wept. I had to cry because, Lord, I said, why? Why can I trust you in just the small things? Just the small, simple things that so many times we think that we have under control. So then the Lord began to put out an outline in my mind and begin to put this together. And I want to tell you that God done a marvelous work in my life. While I was sitting in my study, while I was writing it, and while I was meditating upon the Word of God, seeing what He would do this morning. Beloved, God wants us to go forth with boldness and power. And I believe in these last days that there are two essential things that are going to be needed for the move of God to go forth like God intends for it to do. All right, we know God's Word, right? We've had a deep study in God's Word. We know some deep doctrines. We know some new things for the world. And God is going to get those things out. Am I not right? All right. One of the two major things that's going to be needed in these last days, I believe, is money and travel. Expenses and money to get the gospel out. We're already talking about television, radio, and so forth. But God is still warning us to go abroad. Go all over the world with the gospel. And right now, if I were to ask every individual, how many believe someday that some of you might be in Indonesia or China or anywhere in the world? How many would raise your hand and say, well, I do, in faith believing? Or are we content right now where we're at? Beloved, God is calling His people to a whole body that someday is going to disperse and go into the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. I'm excited what God is going to do. I'm excited what God wants to do with His body. Okay, now, I'm just a substance. Okay, substance. What is substance? Is it to be invisible? Is it not to be there? Or is substance something that is reality made out of matter that is material? This morning, this pulpit is substance. This morning, the platform that I'm standing on is substance. This morning, everything that you can see around you is substance. It's made up by atoms into matter. Faith is substance. Now we're getting in the picture. Faith is not the word faith, but it's that it produces afterwards. Faith is that which comes after we say, Lord, I accept it, I receive it, I have my full trust in you. Then it comes forth. It's that substance that brings the reality into sight, into evidence that's been hoped for. The physical matter of which a thing consists, material, possessions, property, resources, and wealth. For so long, we've been robbing ourselves of what God wants to do. We've been robbing ourselves of what God would really desire to do in each and every individual life. Right now, back home, there are a couple students that are not out here because they didn't have the money, or they thought they didn't have the money. When I went home, I didn't think that I would have the money to come back, but I intended on coming back. I said, Lord, I know it's possible. If you can deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace, you can give me money to pay my tuition. If you can deliver Daniel out of the lion's den from being eaten alive, you can give me a few dollars for tuition. If Peter could walk on the water to Jesus in faith believing, I can believe for just a few dollars for tuition. If God spoke the world into existence by faith, at least I can believe God for a few dollars for tuition. You see what God's wanting us to do this morning? Say, Lord, whatever you say, it is written. I accept it as it's written. Did you know God is faithful to back us up when we step out in faith? How many of you, honestly, when you stepped out in faith, God let you down? I want everybody to raise your hand. When you honestly stepped out in faith and God let you down, raise your hand. Nobody. So what's that tell us? That when we say, Lord, I know this is what you want me to do, it's beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to step out, I'm going to go, I'm going to believe you. Now put your hand right back there and give me a ride because I'm going. That's what he wants us to do, brethren. He doesn't want us to doubt. Did you know doubting is of Satan? Did you know that he would just love to put into your mind saying, oh, you're not going to make it this semester. You're not going to make it this semester. Boy, I tell you, I've had some trials in perspective class. If you don't think so, ask Mark. And sometimes old Satan comes to me and says, brother, you're not going to make it. And I said, that's what you think. I said, I don't worry about the outward appearance. I know what's going on within. I know what's taking place within. I know what God is beginning to form and to make and to mold on the inside of me. And my God shall supply all of my needs, no matter what it may be. My God shall supply it. You know, I enjoy reading Deuteronomy 28 about the promises that were promised to Abraham and the children of Israel. And when I first read that, I thought, well, that's wonderful, Lord. But where do we come in on that? And it was so plain, so obvious. But I couldn't see it. And then one day, Mark, in Perspectives, hit the nail right on the head. He said that the Gentiles have been grafted in to legal Israel, more or less. And we have become that spiritual Israel. We're being nourished and being fed off of that same tree. We've been grafted in, and now we're living off of that same flow that they are. Then the Lord began to say, now do you see? You're a part. You are entitled to those very same things because you have been grafted in. You have been adopted in. And now you are a part of the spiritual Israel. And this morning, those that who have adopted children here, when you adopt them into your home, they become one of your children. And they receive the same as your legal children do. And this morning, we are promised the very things that Abraham was promised. Read the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy sometime in your spare time. And then say, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. God is faithful to back us up when we step out of faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that hath called you who also will do it. Did you know that God is not going to call you to do something that he knows that you can't do it? He's not going to say, Jerry, go to Indonesia. But Lord, I can't. Jerry, I said, go. Or anybody, go. And you say, well, Lord, it's impossible. Lord, it's impossible. It costs money. I don't have any ride. I just can't go. But I learned a long time ago when Jesus told me to go, I better go. I better go. You know, I've often said the statement that if Jesus was going to be walking down Main Street today, the very person of Jesus himself was going to be walking down Main Street, and it came over the radio, today at 1:30 p.m., Jesus Christ himself will be walking down Main Street. Brethren, I want you to know the streets would be flooded. They'd want to see Jesus as he walked by. And this morning, as he's here in our midst, he's saying, Beloved, I'm walking down Main Street right now. And if you want to be in the center of attraction, if you want to be there in that mighty move of God, you better get on because I'm just going through once. You see, we're in the end times right now. And God wants us to latch on and say, Lord, I'm willing to go with you no matter what the case might be. I don't care about worldly problems. I don't care about the trials that will come. I just want you and I want you to lead me. This morning, God is calling us to a deeper place than we've ever been before. This morning, He is calling us to a deeper place than we were 20 minutes ago. He's calling us to a deeper place than we were last Sunday. Beloved, we need not to be satisfied no matter where we're at. We need to want to move on and on and on in the Lord and never be satisfied. You know, I have found in my Christian walk, the way to get what I want is to never be satisfied. The way to get what I want is to never be satisfied. I remember before I surrendered to preach, I used to be in race cars quite a bit. And I used to do a lot of drag racing, and I used to go out on the strip, and I used to run, and if that crazy car wouldn't do what I wanted to, I'd run into the pits, and I'd work it over again. And I'd just keep working and working and working until it did what I wanted it to do. And this morning, God is telling us, children, be not satisfied, but continue on in me, and you shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23 says, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. For He is faithful that promised. You know what? I'd hate to have a salvation knowing that I was walking in the Lord, that I was doing what He wanted me to, and when I get before the Lord, He said, Well, your faith was in vain. You did a good job. You was a faithful steward. You did everything I told you to. You were faithful to me. You accepted me. You walked right. You did everything right. But I don't know. You got to go. Brethren, faithful is He that has called us. When He calls us, He's going to do that which He's promised. He is going to do what He said He would do. Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast. You know what? The enemy would just love for us to begin to worry. Begin to doubt, begin to say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. And brethren, when we begin to say, I don't know, your faith begins to waver. Your faith begins to waver. You know, my wife and I, since we've been married, we've had a glorious time in the Lord. He has shown us many, many things, and He's beginning to direct us and to show us what His will is for our life. And one thing that He's shown us that never waver in our faith. No matter what comes, to recognize that it is the enemy lying. Did you know that Satan can only lie to you? He can only lie to you. He can't do anything to you unless you give in to him and say, Okay, let me hear. You remember Jesus as he was being tempted? What did Satan do? He says, Jesus, you're hungry. Why don't you turn those rocks into bread? Jesus looked at that and he said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What did he do? He confessed the word, didn't he? He confessed the word. Positive confession. When he was on, when he was there looking over, on the temple, the pedestal there. And Satan says, Well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you jump down? You can save yourself. I believe Jesus could have turned the bread or the stones into bread. I believe he could have jumped down and nothing would have happened to him. But what did he say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Brethren, today God wants us to confess the word. What it says stands written. And that's what he wants us to say. Then Jesus, as he was standing there, and Satan says, If you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything. Here, look out here what I will give you. All the kingdoms of this earth. And what Jesus say? Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt trust in only one God. And beloved, when the enemy comes against you, he can make you think a lot of things. Before you know it, you've got lies coming in from all sides. And I found the times that I've been down, that I've been discouraged, is when Satan was coming against me saying, Oh, you're defeated. And Jesus was knocking at my door saying, you're not defeated. If you'll open up, listen to me, move on to me, you can have glorious victory in me. In every area of your life. So this morning, what is Jesus trying to tell us? There's victory in Him. There's whatever we need in Him. Our life is in Him. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm so glad that says that. I'm so glad that it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because that shows me one thing, that what He has written here stands. And what He has said shall go on and on and on to the end of time. And I don't have to worry anymore. I can say, Jesus, You said it right here, by faith, I accept it, I receive it, I believe, and now I know that it will come into be, because You said it. You know, faith is not that hard. We make it that hard sometimes. I've been in places many times where we've been praying for people, lay hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this sickness, and I thank You, Lord, for the healing. And God instantly healed. I've been in places before where there's been people pray for other people. They say, in the name of Jesus, I claim deliverance, and I thank You, Lord. And then walk away and say, boy, I don't know about that person. I don't know if that'll work or not. You've already defeated your cause right there. You've defeated your cause by a bad confession, saying you don't know if the Lord can do it or not. This morning, I hope this touches your heart, knowing that God wants to meet every need, every need. Every need. My God shall supply part of my needs. No. My God shall supply one or two needs a day. No. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. I'm excited about what that says. I'm excited about what that says. Okay, now I've taken the word faith. And again, this is my own definition. It thrilled my heart as I was writing this down. And, you know, you don't have to say this is what the Bible says, but just say this is what I said, and it's going to touch your hearts. Faith, in Hebrews 1, the whole verse, to believe and to trust, to have an unquestioning belief in God, a desire for good, accompanied with a living expectation, knowing that God will provide that which is needed to meet the need. Faith is making things become evident, something that proves grounds for belief. Faith is a physical matter of which a thing consists, material possession, property, resources, and wealth. That is my definition of Hebrews 11:1. And this morning, I hope you're seeing the picture that nothing stands in our way. I have made a dedication in my heart. When the Lord begins to show me an area that needs to be removed, I'm not going to go into a deep burden. And I'm not going to let trials come upon me. But I'm saying, Jesus, You're the most important thing in my life. You're the most real person in my life. And I take whatever it is and I give it away right now. I never think of it again because I want to do what You want to do. I remember when I was a little boy, I wanted to be just like my dad. And I have a good dad. And I wanted to be just like him. And I remember many times he used to be quite a hunter. And we'd go out, you know, there'd be a snow on the ground. And we'd go out and we'd go hunting. And all I could carry was a little BB gun because, you know, I was kind of small then. But I remember my dad would walk along. And I never looked ahead. I always looked down and I was putting my feet right in my dad's footprints. I wanted to do just what my dad wanted to do. And I remember one time that we walked and we walked and I kept looking down and I kept following his footprints and I looked back. And I'm telling you, we went through one of the thickest briar patches I've ever seen in my life. But I never was scratched. You know why? Because I didn't have my eyes on the outward. I didn't have my eyes looking back. But I had my eyes following the One who was leading me. And this morning, beloved, if we follow the footprints of Jesus, if we truly step in His place and say, Lord, I'm going to go with You, no matter what, whether it be through the thick and the thin, through sad times, good times, I'm going. You're going to find yourself like this. It won't be like this, but it's going to be like this. The people that I've seen that's been in trials time after time after time after time after time are those who are unwilling to say, Jesus, I make You Lord of my life. I make you Lord of my life in every area. When I came out here, I had many things that could pull me back to the world. I had a gospel band that was right on the verge of being professional. I had a bright future in being a great evangelist, you know, like your name plastered all over the big billboards. And I had a self-pride that was unbelievable. And when I found out that Jesus wanted me, instead of all that garbage that was on me, I said, Lord, no matter what it takes, I get rid of all of that. I remember I went home this summer and the group wanted me to sing with them. So I thought, well, I'll sing a couple of songs with them. And I couldn't even carry a tune with the group. I couldn't even remember half the songs we used to sing. And I was glad. I was glad. Because God has shown me that if we'll say, Lord, you are the most important thing in my life. I can't stress that enough, that Jesus should be the most important thing in our life. That if we'll say, Jesus, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, I'm going to go with you. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. In my ministry, the Lord has never let me down. I've let the Lord down many, many times. But the Lord's never let me down. He's always been right there by my side. He's always been there to help me. And I've often used this description. I've often used this description. It's like we know that the kingdom of heaven is a straight path. You know, there's no sideways leading into heaven. There's only one way to heaven. And that's a straight and narrow path. And I've often described my walk with the Lord until the last few months. But I used to describe it like this, that Jesus was walking that straight and that narrow path, and he had me by his hand. And he'd lead me along like this, and pretty soon I'd see something over here on the right, and I'd say, hold it, Lord, we gotta go see what this is. And the Lord wouldn't even say anything, he'd just keep walking, he would hold my hand, and pretty soon I'd take the Lord's hand, and I'd move it, and I'd take off down this side road. I'd get over there, and I'd see, oh, this is not good at all. This is not good at all. Then I'd get back on the road and get back on the straight and narrow. I'd say, Lord, wait for me. I'm coming. Then I'd get back and I'd want to be in that close fellowship with him. And for a long time, my walk with the Lord was like that. Until I felt how warm his hand really is. That how tender he is when he leads us along. And how faithful he is. That he will put us in place. Establish us. That was kind of hard to get out. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to do a marvelous work this morning in our lives. This morning, I spoke a few moments ago about two things that's going to be essential in this last day move of God. One, finances, and the other, travel. My brother and I were talking just the other day. We've started a small ministry. We're going to nursing homes and just where we can minister and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus to elderly people and just whoever we can. And God's beginning to use it in my way. But anyway, we were sitting in the music room and we were talking about what God is going to do in these last days. And he looked at me and says, brother, we ought to believe the Lord for a jumbo jet for community chapel. And he was serious. And I agree. You know, the time's coming that our mobile homes are not going to move us quick enough. That God is going to want us to get in to proclaim the gospel and go somewhere else to proclaim the gospel and not spend all this time on the road. Now, it may sound kind of way out or far out, but I believe that if we see the need, God is willing to meet it. But you say, wow, look at all the millions of dollars it takes to build one of them. Who created the earth, brethren? Who made this place as it is right now? God did. And we're children of His. The Bible says that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And beloved, we are in the day and age that we can receive what God has promised. I believe that God wants us to step out and begin to receive. There are multitudes of places right now as a body that we could be going and proclaiming the gospel. But there's a lack and we can't get there. And I don't believe the Lord, it's the Lord's will. I don't. I believe God wants us to go. Why is He equipping us? Why is He preparing us with the Word? Why is he establishing us in the faith as we are? To warm the pews all the rest of our lives? No, to get up and to go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And what's the last part say? Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Beloved, the world Jesus is still with us. So that must mean He still wants us to go. He still wants us to be equipped and go with the Word. And this morning I'm touched. I'm excited about what God is going to do with my life. I've already made a dedication and said, Lord, no matter. I don't care. I just want to be in that divine fellowship with you. And I want to go where you want me to go. Okay, what is prosperity? There are two forms of prosperity, and I'm going to tell you about them. I've been talking about a form of prosperity this morning, and it's not associated with the world's prosperity in no way. And many times we've been deceived by the word prosperity. And I want you to see this morning what God's word says about it. Prosperity, all right. The world's definition of prosperity is this: having enough money laid up to squander on self-lust and meet the desires of your own will and needs and have enough left over that you can do it again. To me, that's what the world definition of prosperity is. But now let's look at the spiritual definition of prosperity. Being able to use the power of God to meet needs and to also help others at any given time. At any given time. This morning, beloved, I believe that we need to be in touch with God. That when we see a brother that's laying there that's dying of cancer, that the power of God is being manifested through us so mightily that we can say in the name of Jesus, I curse that wicked thing and be gone. And it will. I believe that we ought to be able to say, Lord, it's your will that we go here. We're receiving, we're claiming we don't have enough money right now, but we receive it in the name of Jesus. And pretty soon I'm going to tell you how to receive from Jesus. I'm going to tell you how we can be able to receive from God in an abundance way. And meet the needs of ourselves and be able to meet needs of our friends. The Lord has done this through Gail and I many times. Since we've come to this community chapel this last time, God has been able to, He's been meeting every one of our needs. And there's always been enough left over where we could say, well, there's a brother that needs a little, let's help him out. And we give, and before you know it, there's some more coming in from somewhere else. And this is what I'm getting to, the heart of the message this morning. Maltari's message Sunday morning was a format to this sermon this morning. George Albert's message was another part of it last night. Then Mark's sermon this morning on love was another part of it. And it all boils down to our living faith in action. When we have that living faith, that's our trust, our belief in something. And when you trust and you believe in something, you love that something. And beloved, our trust this morning is in God. And we need to love Him. Being able to use the power of God to meet your needs and to also meet others at any given time. Now, I'm not talking about having $100,000 laid up in the bank and saying, oh, look at me, I got prosperity. No, that's not it at all. But I'm saying having a humble heart before the Lord and saying, Jesus, you know what my need is. And you know in the natural that I can't provide. But Lord, I know that you've already laid it up for me, that it's mine if I receive it. I accept it in Jesus' name. And then being able to see a brother that needs help. There's nothing that excites me anymore than seeing a brother that needs help and for me being able to help him. No matter if it's just loaning him a dollar or praying that he would be healed or whatever the case might be. I enjoy seeing a brother's needs met. And that's what God is calling us to this morning as a body, as a oneness. That we may meet the needs of each other with sufficiency. Hallelujah. Being able to meet the needs. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 12, or 112.
Psalms 112.
Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. His generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth life in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desires upon his enemy. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Pretty powerful. Let's look at the word discretion. What's it mean? Good judgment. To have good judgment. I can remember in my past that there was many times when I stood in the pulpit and I didn't have good judgment. There was times that I prepared for a message, maybe 20 minutes before time to preach it, and I didn't have good judgment. There were many times that there was needs that arise, and I didn't have good judgment. Now then, concerning prosperity this morning, you must have good judgment. It would be very simple right now for us to walk away and think, my, he thinks that we ought to have everything in the world. Have $100,000 in the bank and not have any needs at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that our needs should be met. And when we look upon the Word of God and we begin to see what God has to say, we need to put the Word of God into action and good judgment. And say, Lord, if it says it, then that's what I'm going to do. Mel Tari, bless my heart, he stayed in our home and he told me about some things that happened besides what he told here. And he said that many times they would come into a situation and they would look at it. He told this, and I'm going to tell it again though. He said they'd look at it. And they'd look at that thing, and then they would turn over to Mark and they'd read that, say, well, here's what the Word says. That's there, and the Word says this. And if we do this, then that has to go. So they would do it, and it would go. Good judgment. Brethren, when we stand upon the Word of God, as it is written, to me, that's good judgment. That's good judgment. This morning, God is calling us to see what He has said in His Word. And to believe Him for every need, every need, every need. A prosperous man is a man who has manifestations of God's presence in him at all times because of God's Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now then, a prosperous man is a prosperous man because he has the Word of God on the inside of him. Now then, when you realize what that is saying, you need to get up and shout a little bit. Because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you have the Word on the inside of you, it's the living letter, it's God Himself on the inside, motivating you to go, 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 receive. This morning, as God touches our hearts, it's the Spirit of God on the inside beginning to show us things that need to be moved in our life. It's not your conscience or Mother Nature. There's no such thing. But it's the Spirit of God as it deals within you and touches you. It's that intimate relationship that it has with you. It begins to show you which direction to go. I sure hate to think that was my own conscience that was going to lead me when it's time for me to move out of this body into a ministry. I sure hate to think that it was my own judgment, my own will that was going to lead me when I get out of here, you know, to go to minister wherever I may go. But I'm so glad that it's the Word of God on the inside of me, and Jesus, as He deals with me, purging me, building a combustion on the inside that can't wait to get out. And the time comes that I must go, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus wants me to go. Good judgment, brethren. Knowing that God will do what He has said He would do. A prosperous man is a man who studies and meditates on the Word of God day and night. Now, I don't mean that literally, you know, set up all day and set up all night and all day and all night and all day and all night. Not that at all. But I mean a man that for every need, he goes to the Word and says, sees what the Word says. One thing that I've found out, that when God is wanting me to do something, I don't go out here to a lost person and ask him, what do you think about this? But I always go to the Word of God and say, Jesus, show me. Show me what you want me to know. Show me what you want me to know. And then if I don't know, I'll go to an elder or somebody. But first, I want to go to the Word and see what Jesus says. To see what the Word of God says. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know the Word of God this morning. A prosperous man is a man that knows the Word of God. Knows the Word of God beyond a shadow of a doubt. And when a need arises, he can open his Bible and say, right there it is. It's promised. It's written. I accept it in the name of Jesus. And brethren, there's nothing that can hold us back when we take the Word and apply it as it's written. We have all faith if we let God have His way in our life and receive the Word as it's written. His heart is fixed. In the seventh verse, it says, his heart is fixed. That means or established and living in one of two things, prosperity or poverty. In your Christian walk right now, and I'm not talking about financial prosperity right now, I'm talking about your spiritual prosperity. Are you living in spiritual prosperity or spiritual poverty? Are you living in spiritual prosperity or spiritual poverty right now? Beloved, your heart is fixed upon one or two things. Either to go all the way with God and say, Lord, I'm fixed upon you, and whatever you say, my motives are clear, my motives are on you, and I want to do your will. Or is your spiritual motive kind of blurry, and you say, Lord, I don't know for sure what I want. I don't know for sure what you're calling me to do, and I'm not for sure if I want to get rid of this out of my life or not. Then, brethren, you're in spiritual poverty. You're going downhill, brethren. You need to say, if you want to move on with God, if you want to become that prosperous individual that I'm talking about this morning, you need to say, Lord, no matter what, I just want to keep saying this over and over, no matter what, you are the very first thing in my life. Nothing stands between me and you. I used to preach back home, and I used to say, is the Lord, Lord of your life. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt when I said that He wasn't the Lord of my life. And I thought of how many, you know, sitting in the congregation were in the same need that I was. And this morning the Lord is touching us saying, yes, I want to be the Lord of your life. And when I become the Lord of your life, you shall see a new thing begin to happen within the inside of you. This morning God is calling us, brethren. And that train, I think it was in Perspectives of the Gospel, Mark was talking about a love train, getting on this love train, and it's going up to glory. And you better get on now because it's not coming back. And we're going to be stopping off at a few places and seeing, and then we're going to get back on and keep on going. But brethren, if you want to get on the love train, you need to get on it now. You need to get on it now, fully equipped, with the Word of God established in your heart, knowing whence your strength comes from. I've often wondered, in the last days, how many are truly going to make it. We see many, many people that are in despair and in trials and tribulations right now, and that can't handle it right now the way it is. And how many in the days to come will continue to hold fast, to continue to hold on strong and say, Lord, you are the Lord of my life, and I'm going to go where you direct me. I am established in your word. I am fixed upon your word. I know what you tell me to do. I know what is written. And I'm sensitive to your spirit, and I want to do just exactly what you've called me to do. Third John 2 says, beloved, I want you to listen to this now. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, what does it say? Beloved, I wish above all things that you be in poverty and be sick, even as your soul prospers. No. But it said, Beloved, I wish above all things. Above all things. That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. This morning, is your soul prospering? Are you reaching those realms of glory like you want to? Are you coming into the prayer room and you're getting into the glory and you feel the presence of God in a mighty way? And then when you come out, you see the trials and the needs of the world that's upon you? 3 John says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And to me, that means every need in your life to be able to have them met and know that God has done the work. You know, there's nothing that used to discourage me any more than to go into the prayer room and to begin to pray and feel the power of God come down in a mighty way, and then to walk out and think of the bills that I had to pay next week. It just put a damper on it. But beloved, I want you to know that when you have the faith in God, when it's living, you come out of the prayer room, you're in the glory, you can walk, you can get in your car, and you go home, and you're still in the glory. Because you know that your needs have been met according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, I'm excited about what God wants to do. I hope after this message that next time we get our little chart on giving, you know, about the new sanctuary fund, that man, that thing shot clear up there and spurting out over. Because I want you to know there's a joy in giving that God wants to bless you with. And I'm going to touch on that in just a few moments. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. We've undefined that. But I want you to know that living faith in action produces spiritual things in your life that can be seen outwardly. It produces the financial things that are a burden that need to get out of your way. And I know for a fact that one of the worst things that can come against a Christian as far as being in the realm of wealth and so forth is bills. And being under a burden with bills day after day after day. It can put a damper on your Christian walk, and I know it, because it's happened to me before. But beloved, there's victory this morning. No longer do you have to go through this anymore. If you just receive simply by trusting in Jesus and saying, Lord, I know that you're going to meet my needs. And I'm going to show you how he wants to meet our needs. The only way to be established in your heart is believing in the Word of God by faith. We must feed on the Word of God, and there's no such thing as using your faith and not receiving. Faith operates in the realm of receiving. Faith operates in the realm of receiving. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to you this morning as you believe. If thou canst believe. If you can believe in your heart and know, and not doubt, they are possible. You know what I've found that it takes to do this? First of all, close relationship with Jesus. Back again to that word faith. Trust, believe, and knowing that He will. Know that Jesus will take care. This morning, God has done a work in my heart. A deep work in my heart that He's beginning to show me that He's my very best friend. That He is my very best friend and that I can trust fully in Him. And if I will walk according to the way that He's told me to, that He is faithful to meet my needs. And whenever a trial comes my way, that I don't have to get down in despair, but I can say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thing, I take authority over it, and whatever the need may be, if it's something in my life that needs to be removed, I get it out of the way and move on in the Lord. No need of coming down and being burdened and burdened day after day after day about the same thing. But brethren, move on in God. Move on in the Lord and let Him have His way in your life. Let Him put your life on that old potter's wheel and mold it and make it and form it into that image that He desires. Not what you want. If you get out of life what you want, you'll be a failure. But Jesus wants to make us a vessel that can be used to honor and glorify Him. And that can be a glory to His kingdom. Hallelujah. James 2, 14 through 20, if you have your Bibles. James 2, 14 through 20. Okay, now, how do we receive from God? How do we get in touch with God and say, Lord, I believe everything that He said this morning. I understand that it's written in Your Word. But now, just how do I receive and come in contact with being able to live this prosperous life that You would have me to live? James 2, 14 through 20 says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show ye my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Okay, it takes a little works on our behalf. I remember a testimony Don's dad gave here a while back. And it touched my heart, and I was thrilled on the inside. He was talking about, I don't know if I'll get it just right or not, but he was talking about one time they were in a church service. I forget whether it was a revival meeting or what. And back then, I forget whether he said it was a quarter, 50 cents, whatever it was, a dollar maybe. But back then they were needing, they trusted God for everything. And the Lord laid upon Don's dad to give this certain amount, and it was all he had to this pastor, evangelist, or whatever the case might have been, I'm not for sure. And he knew that they needed bread at home, and they needed milk, and they were out, but the Lord impressed upon him to give what he had. And if I'm not mistaken, he gave to this evangelist or pastor, whatever the case was, and his needs were met abundantly over, above of what he needed, because he gave. This morning I want to tell you the way to get in contact with God and to begin to receive from Him is when you begin to see the needs around you and begin to say, Lord, I see a need there. There's a brother that needs $5 or $10, and I've got some extra to spare. I'm going to give it to him as an offering, that it may bless him and bless you. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing that'll bless your heart any more than walking up to a brother and saying, brother, I see that you have a need, and I want to help you out here with a little bit. I've got a little extra, and I want to give it to you. You don't owe it to me. It's just an offering, and I give it to you in the name of Jesus. Brother, if you don't think the Lord will bless you, you just try it. Because when you're taking care of each one another, you're showing God that you have that agape love for one another. You're showing God that you do love, that you're willing to give. You're willing to give. I remember my wife and I, we came out here, and I was excited about the $1,200 the Lord had provided for us. And we got here, and we got settled, and we gave our tithe to the church, and we had everything, and then we had plenty left over. And there was a brother that came out with us, and he'd just gotten here, and he just had a little money. He didn't have a whole lot. And his job was kind of delayed for something. But anyway, we were praying one day, and we both looked up at each other, and we said, I feel that the Lord wants us to give so-and-so some money. And Gail looked at me, and she says, well, I feel the same way. And so we decided on our amount, and so we did. We gave it to him. And I tell you, I was excited, not because I gave some money, but because the Lord was being able to bless other people because of the willingness of hearts. It takes the willingness of your heart to see needs met. Did you know that? You can stand up here and preach all this all day long, but if you're not willing, then nothing's going to be accomplished. Several times since we've been here this semester, we've been able to help different individuals. And God has always met that need, and plenty more. Just the other day, we were, the end of the semester's coming up in time for tuition. And Gail and I have already decided that we're not going to have a savings account as to be, But we're going to put it in the checking account, and whenever arises a need, we're going to meet the needs that we can through the power of Jesus and through what He wants to do. But anyway, we were staying at home, and we were talking about the end of the semester coming up. And I tell you, when it's married, you don't have one tuition to pay, but you have two, and there's many of you that know that. But anyway, we were saying, well, the end of the tuition is coming up, and or the end of the semester is coming up, and it's time for tuition again. We just look at each other and kind of grin and say, yeah, we know we'll get it. The Lord's going to provide. He always has. He always will. And why, you know, doubt now? And I've looked back on what God has done in my life, and I can see that He has never failed me. And I tell you, when the enemy comes against me, I always have a tendency to look back and say, Jesus, look at all the things. Or I don't say Jesus, I say Jerry. Look at all the things that Jesus has done for you. When it looked so impossible, He met your need. And then I just have to look at old Satan right in the face and laugh and say, you're defeated. You're defeated. Just get out of my way. I'm going on. This morning, when we as a body begin to see the needs of each and every individual that's here, and begin to say, Lord, help me that I may be a blessing to somebody else. Help me that I may be able to do something good to help somebody else. Then we'll see God begin to really pour out blessings upon us as individuals, and we'll begin to move on glory to glory. This time of celebrating, so as it was, in the mail, we received over probably a half of our tuition for this next semester. And never one time have I ever doubted that God wouldn't provide. Never have I doubted that God wouldn't provide. Now you may be saying, well, it works for you, but what about me? It will if you believe. If you say, well, it works for him, but I don't know about me, then it won't work because you're already doubting. But if you say, Jesus, I belong to your kingdom just like he does. I accept and I receive. And begin to give as God leads. You begin to see mighty things begin to open up in your way. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I get excited when I think about all things. All things. If you are given in faith, that includes receiving what is promised on that which you give. Did you know that God promises you when you give? There's many of you maybe sitting here saying, well, I've not got anything from the Lord lately. Well, have you given anything lately? Have you let the Lord impress upon your heart to give, whether it be finances, spiritually, in a testimony, and laying hands on somebody and praying for the sickness to be gone? Well, no, I can't say as I have. Then how do you expect to receive? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now then, what's that tell us? That God so loved the world that he gave. Brethren, Jesus has given more than we could ever think about giving. And there never was a doubt in his mind whether to give it or not. But he saw a people that needed help. And he said, yes, I give my all that they may be, spared. That they may be taken in and a covering put over them. This morning, Jesus wants us to see what he's calling us to in these last days. Isaiah 48, 40th chapter, the 8th verse says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Matthew 25:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Psalms 89:34 says, my covenant will I not break, nor after the things that is gone out of my lips. Those three verses, he said that everything that he has promised, he shall keep. Everything that he has said that he will do, he will keep. Again, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises never fail. They stand as they are written. And as we think they fail many times, it's because we ourselves are failing and we're not holding up to the standard that God wants us to. This morning, I believe God is going to take this body and move us out in a mighty way like we've never been before. He's going to begin to touch hearts about being missionaries and touch hearts of people being pastors. And the time's going to come, we're going to have to say, Lord, It's impossible. I can't see how, but I receive it in the name of Jesus. This morning, we're walking by faith. Did you know that? How many can say that Jesus Christ has walked right down through your living room and you've seen him as an individual? Now, I know some have had visions, but I mean to physically pat him on the back and hug him and touch him. Not very many. So therefore, we're walking by faith, knowing that God will provide because he said it in his word. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Did you hear that? The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is a word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Unto you today, the gospel is being preached and you can receive. You can right now begin to say, Lord, I'm taking my little spark of faith that I've had and I'm putting it all on the line and I'm going with you all the way. And nothing shall stand in my way, no matter what. If it's whether I should pack up my home and go to a field somewhere, or whether it's just to be a faithful member of the church, or whatever the case might be, I want to do what you want me to do. And I tell you, there's nothing that excites the Lord anymore when we make those dedications and say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I give my all. There was nothing that excited me anymore when my wife said that she would marry me, that she would become submissive to me. And there's nothing that excites the Lord when we take our will and say, Lord, right now, I submit my will to your authority. Whatever you say, whatever you command, I'll do it. Did you know God doesn't sell? How many of you just bought your salvation? Raise your hand. How many years when you were healed by the grace of God bought it? It was given to you, wasn't it? Jesus said, if you'll believe, and you'll receive, I'll give you that specific thing that you desire. And this morning, as we see the heart of God, you know what I see? I see the heart of God as Him wanting His people to give out. Not only in the gospel, not only laying on hands, but when the time comes for the offering, to say, Jesus, I thank you for the abundant supply that you've given me this week. And Lord, you've met every one of my needs. And Lord, right here is the first fruits of my check. Write that check out and drop it in there and say, Lord, let it be an honor and glory to you. Instead of saying, oh, there goes $10 that I could have put in the bank. Or there's 15 or 20 that I could have went out and had a nice dinner on after church. You know what my wife and I do? Every week, when we sit down and we write out our tithe to the church, we lay it before us and we say, Jesus, this is our tithe unto you. And Lord, we thank you for the marvelous things that you have given us in this past week. Jesus, take this offering, this tithe, and multiply it in abundance as it goes forth to proclaim your gospel, that it may reach and touch the hearts of people. Every Sunday, it's not always in those same words, but we ask a blessing over our offering, and then we claim the return on it. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see that window right there he's talking about? That's the same windows of heaven he opened up and flooded the earth with. Brethren, I want to tell you, there was plenty of water to cover the earth. And he's saying that as you give unto him, as you open up and freely give unto him, that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you, that there won't be room enough to receive it. That there'll be plenty, plenty, and plenty. And you won't be able to receive. This morning, God wants to bring us to a new place in Him. And as we're here this morning, every one of us needs to make a new dedication to the Lord, saying, Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And no matter what the case might be, I'm willing to give it all for you. There's just a few more verses I want to read. Maybe. That's where they are. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Mark 11:24 says, "What things ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Matthew 6:23, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Hallelujah.